What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. We'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So, if you're someone ever going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. It's got nootropics in it and caffeine. So, you know, it helps with memory recall, focus, energy. It's got about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and B12. I really enjoy it. It's a product I use pretty much daily. I use it while I'm driving around showing houses, while I'm working out, while I'm really doing just about anything. It kind of avoids me from, you know, grabbing another energy drink. Cause I'm kind of a caffeine fiend. So, I'm trying to kind of limit that a little bit. So if I'm ever feeling like I'm dragging a little bit, I just pop a piece of NeuroGum in and I'm good to go. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And the month just ended, but we want to give a big thanks to our people over at Fit Flavors. Guys, thanks for providing the podcast with our code for the month of April and May. We really appreciate you guys coming on and supporting the show. Again, listeners, their food is amazing. And if you're constantly on the go and looking to stay healthy, even if you're not on the go looking to stay healthy, their meals are excellent. Great way to track macros and stay on top of your diet and what you're trying to do and accomplish with your goals on fitness and healthy eating. So again, shout out to those guys. New menu drops at the beginning of June.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we are going to be, it's going to be a little bit of a quicker episode. We're a little short on time. So, if you've been following along every month, Pat and I, we read a book together. Not to each other, but on
we
our own.
We cuddle up on the couch and we each and read a chapter to each other.
Yeah. But we read a book together and, you know, we've been encouraging our listeners to do it with us so that when the time comes, we'll do a podcast kind of recapping that book. So the book for the month of May was Winning by Tim Grover. Tim Grover was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade. He was their you know, strength, conditioning, performance, mental coach. And he wrote Relentless, which was his first book. And then Winning was his second book. And man, this is the first time I read this one. And I really, really liked it. I did kind of cram last night and finished, the last bit of the book. I was kind of behind this month. So I kind of speed read as much as I could of it last night. So, but I really, really, really enjoyed this one. It was, easy read, keeps you kind of engaged, has a lot of really good stories.
Yep.
It's just really cool to hear like the kind of behind the scenes of what, those guys were, what it was like, especially with Jordan and, in the late '90s or early '90s. I think he said he started working with Jordan in '89.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said he started working with Kobe in like 2002 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Right?
Like right after MJ had retired.
Yeah.
They met for that dinner.
Yeah. And he was, I read that part last night. He was like, here, call Grover. He's the biggest asshole you'll ever meet. and he was like, yeah, that's what, because that's what, when Michael was talking to Kobe was talking about hanging it up. And, after he had won 3 championships and he's like, I don't know. This might be it for me. And Michael convinced Kobe to call Jordan or to call Tim Grover and hire him as his coach. And he did. And then Kobe went on to win 2 more championships. But it was a really good book, man. I enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it dives in kind of what we've been going over quite a bit on the podcast is the mentality it takes to be successful and having that winning mentality. And he's putting it out there based on like the highest of achievers. Like if you want to be the best, this is what the best does. Like, I mean, the very beginning of the book, he's like, I just want a 1-word definition of what winning means. And I remember reading this and reading that question before moving on. And I was just like, man, like winning is everything. Like that's what it is. And then it was cool to like kind of get through it and then be like, oh, that was the same answer that Kobe gave, you know? But like, again, other guys, other top professionals are saying unrelentless, hard, tough, you know, just things like that. And because it is like, and he just dives into like, it doesn't matter how much you put it. Like, if you really want to win, you got to give it everything. And even when you give it everything, winning can look you in the face and say, fuck you, not this time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that constant pursuit. And it's about really just diving into the processes that it takes to win.
Yeah.
And to be a winner and to be, I know he calls it in Relentless, a cleaner.
Yeah, clean. It was a, yeah. What is it? There's three of them. Cleaner's like the third tier. It was
Closer, cooler.
Cooler is the, yeah.
And then closer, cooler, cleaner. Yeah. Yeah. So. And yeah, no, it was just a freaking great book, man. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend it to anybody.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, like if you're trying to figure out, even like if you, I mean, again, this is taking it to the extreme. Like this is the elite of elite, which, you know, that's not for everybody. Not everybody is going to be, you know, a cleaner, you know, and that's fine. But I still think it's a good book for people to read just to kind of get an idea of what those higher achievers are thinking, because you, like I said, you know, we go, you know, they have to give everything to get to that point. And that means sacrificing a lot of things and in the pursuit of winning. And, you know, when you're working with somebody that's just at that level, it helps for people to be under like that, maybe not at that level, to understand what it takes for those people that are doing what they're doing to be successful. It might help give a better understanding of where they're coming from. And they're not trying to be assholes, but they are selfish, right? Because you have to be selfish to win.
Yeah. There's a whole chapter on it on being selfish and like the importance of like, you have to be selfish to be a true winner and to win, you know, especially on the level that these guys win. Like you have to be selfish. There's no other way to do it. You know, you have to put yourself in front. And then I loved how he went into how a lot of we've, as a society, selfish is a bad word, you know,
right.
And like how, you know, we've come up with different words for it. Like, you know, we have my me time, my a man cave, my, you know, girls day, all these things that it's like, this is all kind of like, these are all selfish things. Yeah. But it's okay to be selfish sometimes, you know, like, you know, if I want to go spend an hour at the gym, you know, that's not being selfish because it's not time I'm spending with my family or with my clients, but like that's time that I'm working on myself. And it's important to, you know, to have that time and it, you know, you gotta, you know, fill your cup before you can pour into others. And, yeah.
And one of the notes that I took, it's just like it's chapter two, winning is selfish. So winning demands a degree of selfishness. And he differentiates between selfish losers, and those are the ones that are draining the team, and selfish winners who prioritize their success, and it usually is uplifting others. I mean, you know, he relates a lot to it with back to Michael Jordan. I mean, there's a lot about Kobe in this book. Relentless was definitely all about Michael, but he does relate to Michael in this book, or, you know, tell stories of Michael in this book, and I'm on a first name basis with Michael Jordan. But anyway, he talks about how, you know, Michael Jordan didn't care. Like, I forget who it was. I think it was Bowie that they were trying to go after and sign. And
yeah.
And he was just like, hey, are you coming or not? Well, we're going to win without you, but we'd love
come
to
with
have
us.
You. Come with come us and don't, win. Yeah. Don't come with us. We're still going to win.
Right.
And so it just kind of goes to that mentality that, like, Michael Jordan knew that he was going to win, and it didn't matter who was on his team, because the way he practiced and the way he did went about his routines and everything, it just made everyone else better around him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you see it in the Last Dance.
Well, he does what we talk about a lot is, you know, leading from the front, you know, he was the example.
Right. And so I think one of my favorite parts is like right at the beginning of the book where he talks about the 13 things it takes to be a winner.
Yeah.
And he's like, but here's the thing. I don't label them 1 through 13.
Yeah, they're
because
all
they're
number
all
one.
Number one. They're all important. He's like, you can read through this list at any point in time and in any order, and they're all number one.
You have the list?
Yeah, I've got the list. I wrote it all out here. So cool. Winning makes you different, and different scares people. winning wages wars on the battlefield in your mind. So like the mental aspect of winning is crucial. Winning is the ultimate gamble on yourself. So it requires betting on yourself and abilities and taking risks to win. Winning isn't heartless, but you'll use your heart less. Like, I thought that was awesome.
That's great. You know, yeah. Good line.
Because achieving greatness often demands tough decisions that prioritize logic and strategy over emotions. Winning belongs to them, and it's your job to take it. Winning wants all of you. There is no balance. So again, total commitment, being selfish, putting your priority, making things your priority, that it's going to make you a winner, which is winning is selfish. And then winning takes you to hell. And if you quit, that's where you stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, once you get that taste of winning, like, there's nothing better than winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get there and you lose and then you stay, like, yeah, that'd be hell to never get back to that, having that feeling. Winning knows all your secrets. So success exposes your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities and demanding you to be honest and have self-awareness to improve those. And, like, again, I think we've touched on that before. Shoot, we talked about it with Dino when he was here. I mean, you have to be, in order for you to move forward and be better, you have to recognize your weaknesses and be willing to work on those. So winning never lies. The results of your efforts are always truthful. Your success is a direct reflection of your actions and decisions. Winning is not a marathon. It's a sprint with no finish line. And then number one, winning is everything. And for those truly committed, winning becomes the ultimate goal that drives every action and decision. So, like, those are his 13 things about winning, and it couldn't be more true. I mean, just think back to the things that you've done that you've won at.
Yeah.
And what it's cost you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think back on, you know, some of my, you know, it's always the wins that were not easy wins are the ones, right, you remember, you know, like the ones that were an absolute fucking war, you mm-hmm. know, like just back and forth, whether it was, there's a couple football games that I remember that were like super, super close, you know, that were like came down to like one or two plays. You know, there's a couple wrestling matches, you know, that I won or that I lost that were just like fucking so close. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, especially the one that sticks out to me, it was a couple. But one that sticks out to me that I lost, it was my senior year, wrestling. And, if I beat that guy, I would have qualified for state. And, man, that was just, you know, he beat me by like, you know, I think it was like two, it was like 3 or 4 points. So it wasn't by much. I didn't get pinned, but man, I just felt like I was just so close to like making it to the big tournament and going to state. 'Cause that's what you always wanted. Mm. You wanted to make it, you wanted to qualify. It was just a big enough deal for me to qualify for going to state. You know, like that was like a bucket list thing that I wanted, that I really, really wanted. But man, looking back on it, I took it very seriously, but like, I never took my health and fitness as serious as I do now. And looking back on it, if I would have, you know, been better with my diet or, you know, and, you know, spent more time in the off season training and not just training during wrestling season, right? You know, doing more off season stuff, doing stuff during the summer, doing, you know, freestyle or Greco outside of the folk style season. Like I look back on all these things that I wish I would have done. You know, but as far as jiu-jitsu goes, like, man, there's some wins, you know, that I have had that, like, man, you know, it's always those ones that are, you know, like a super tough fight. You know, and you're just back and forth with the guy the whole time. You might win. You know, I remember there's one that, it was one of my tournaments at Blue Belt. And I remember I came home with double gold. And I remember my last match to win that one. It was just an absolute war. I think I won by 2 points and, and ended up, you know, double gold on the day. And which was really, really cool. You know, I took home gold in both gi and no gi. And I remember that kind of being one of the highlights for me. But yeah, man, there's some big wins for sure.
Yeah. For me, it was, you know, growing up, it was winning was getting to college, playing baseball in college. That was my first, you know, and obviously like to get there, you know, you have to go out and compete and play. And it's, you know, I sacrificed quite a bit. I mean, it took me a minute to get there, but it wasn't until, like I said, I started reading that book and then having my coach get on me about getting out of shape and tell him, like, really, like, dude, you're going to fuck up any future that you have if you stay on this path. And that really clicked. And from that, from then on, which was the sophomore summer going into my junior year, like, I dedicated everything I had. I mean, I was working out. Like, I would run. Like, my house was 2.5 miles from the gym. So instead of driving there, I ran there. Then I would work out.
And run home.
And then I would run home. And, I mean, like, I was in unbelievable shape. And, yeah. And I did everything I took to get better and be one of the best pitchers here in St. Louis, in the Midwest, whatever. And, you know, the amount, you know, and it showed, because the amount the schools that I had to choose from with scholarships to every, to each one was, I mean, a lot. I had a lot of scholarship offers. But ultimately, you know, decided on Missouri State. They had a great track record of getting pitchers, because I knew, like, hey, first goal, get to college. Then it was, all right, we're going to get better and get the pros. So when I signed my letter of intent, like, all of everything that I put into getting to that point was, like, finally paying off. I'm like, this is why I did it. And then that was the thing. And my pitching coach at that time was just like, he's like, it doesn't stop. Now you just work harder.
Right.
And so once I got to college, you know, things, you know, you're a freshman and you're away from home and you're with your buddies and, you know, you start doing things that kind of pull you away from that. And I did. And in my freshman and freshman year, I let that pull away and wound up getting hurt. I start the sophomore season and was a battle my sophomore year to get back. And I really had to take a look and be like, all right, you're really going to fuck up this opportunity. Your goal was to get to the big, get to the pros and then ultimately to the big leagues. And you're going to fuck it up because you're doing this. So then I had to really dive back in and really started working hard. And you know, it's frustrating because it's like, fuck, I wish I wouldn't have taken that freshman year off. I mean, I still, like, I pitched a lot, but, like, I didn't put in the extra work that I was doing before. And, you know, it's frustrating looking back on, because it's like, well, how much better could I have been if I would have just continued to do the work that I was doing? And then sophomore year is when I, you know, I was hurt and I had to start doing that work again and was able to come back sophomore year. Wasn't a terrible season, but it wasn't a great season. It wasn't a season like, hey, your sophomore year is your big year in college. But it wasn't enough to do what I needed to do to prepare myself for my junior year to get drafted. But I came back out, had a good junior year, and didn't get drafted, but had a free agent offer and turned it down, came back for my senior year. And just, I was like, I'm leaving it all out on the field. And that sacrifice ultimately was, hey, school's going to take a back seat, and did enough to just so I can graduate. But then it was, hey, and I did. I put everything I had into it, got better, had a good season, got drafted. And then when I got into pro ball, it's like, all right, now each level is a win, making it through each level. And, you know, I worked my ass off and I did a really good job and competed at every level that I got to until, you know, that high A, double A, and guys were getting promoted in front of me that kind of pissed me off. And I just, I let that side of the game get to me. And ultimately, I mean, I was still able to make it to double A, had a couple triple A innings, but ultimately I think that it took away what I was going after by seeing certain things. And, you know, I just, once I got released from the Reds in spring training of 14 and went and played indie ball, like, I love playing indie ball. It was so much fun, but ultimately I lost that desire. And now then it was like, all right, we're going to finish the season, get done with that and transition into something else. I did have, you know, some showcases with pro teams and did really well and had some calls about getting invited to spring training and some things fell through for 14, but ultimately started doing this. And now it's like, all right, this is my new focus. How am I going to win at this? And it was, I sacrificed. I mean, I was working 14, 15, 16 hours a day for the first 6 months because I had a goal that the president of our company put on me, because they didn't hire loan officers with no experience. And usually you needed five, and close so much per month. And so he put a goal like, hey, you need to be at this in 12 months. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm doing it in 6. And that's mm-hmm. what I did. And now it's the same thing. It's just, what do I got to do to continue to win?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some sacrifices and, you know, early on you sacrificed marriage, my relationship with my kids for the first couple of years that I can't get back. And, but now things have kind of changed and with the divorce and realizing like, all right, now I want to be the best father. That's winning for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, work, I'm still busting my ass at work, still shooting, you know, my goal every year is to be in the top 1%. And, but ultimately now it's to win as a father. So
sure.
Things change and your mindset changes and the things that are important to you change. But ultimately now I'm taking that aspect of like, how do I become a winning father?
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, like you said, our definition of winning changes over time. And, you know, I know mine has. I remember when I first got into the real estate business, I was like, man, I just wanted to be able to do this full time, you know? And I was like, all right, I'll set this goal. I'm going to sell, if I sell 12 houses this year, that should be about what I made waiting tables, or like a little bit more, you know, roughly maybe even a little bit more than what I made waiting tables. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I ended up, you know, I didn't close a deal until May of that first year in the business. And then from then on, I ended up closing 30, you know, in that first year.
Yeah.
And, so I blew that goal way out of the water, but I, you know, and ever since then I'm always a big fan of setting big goals, mm-hmm. you know, just cause I was like, man, if I set this ridiculously big goal and if I even come up a little short, you know, which I usually do, I usually come up a little bit short every year. But it's like, man, how far, you know, if I didn't have my goal set so high, then like, would I have even gotten close to where I did?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But you know, that's kind of something I've always been a fan of. But I was thinking about this morning on my way to go drop off Calvin. I was like, man, because I, you know, was kind of cramming to finish the last couple right. chapters of this book. And I was thinking like winning just, you know, there's like this delusion out there that, you know, eventually you just get to this spot in life where like, it's just easy. And, you know, and just things just, you know, like you just can coast.
Right.
And like everything in life is just going to just happen for you. And like money's just going to be there. And like everything's going to be there. It's like, no, dude,
no.
To have a good life, to have a successful life, to have, you know, it's like it just takes constant fucking work,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's, you know, taking care of your physical health, your financial health, your spiritual health, you know, like the health of your family and your relationships, like. It's just everything you do is, you know, directly, you know, everything is totally what you put into it, you
right.
know, and you can't just expect it to just be there.
No.
And, you know, like, I don't know why, I guess I just always had this delusion as a kid that like you get to a certain age or like a certain, you know, like a certain financial status or a certain thing. And it's just like easy from, man, if I just get to a point where I'm, you know, and I remember like, I mean, I feel like a lot of people had this goal of like, oh, I want to make 6 figures. And it's right. like, once you get to that, like, it's just going to be, oh, life will be so easy. And it's like, that's the fucking biggest crock of shit I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
It's like more, you know, the whole more money, more problems thing is like such a true thing.
Well, that too. And it goes back to the, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
If you feel like you're sitting there and you've made it,
you're fucking done.
You're done. Like, you're done. At that point, you're going to stop pushing yourself and, you know, you didn't make it. You're never going to make it. That bar always gets pushed, especially like if you have that mentality, like
that goalpost is always
moving. Always moving. Like the light at the end of the tunnel could be there, but it's still just,
just
out of reach.
Yeah. Always. And I think that's the fucking way to do it.
Right.
You know, and he talks about that in this book. It's like, you win this season. All right, cool. Next one. Next season, we start over from the beginning.
Yep.
You do it all fucking again.
Yep.
The same thing every year. I look at it the same way every year in real estate. It's like, all right, well, yeah, you had a great year last year, you know, your best year ever. You know, my last year I wanted to sell 50 houses. I ended up selling 46. Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, all right. Well, next year, like I got pretty close to that 50. So I got to move that goalpost. You
right.
know, this year, like I want to sell 75, you know?
Right.
And I mean, and I don't think I'm going to hit that this year. Just at least maybe I could. I mean, who knows? Let's see. You know, I'm not going to completely count myself out, but that was a pretty lofty goal, you know, to just pretty much increase it by 25 or by 50%.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, just like I said, the goalpost is always moving. So, and you know, you got to move it. If you want to keep, you want to keep growing, you want to keep getting better. You know, like you said, we're not growing, we're dying. We're like
right.
a tree.
Well, that's the thing is like, also, we've got family, we've got kids. We want them to learn that same mentality. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want my kids to settle. I've been doing my best to strip the words can't out of their vocabulary. Like that's not a thing. Like, no, you can. You just have to apply yourself and put the work in to get there. And, you know, obviously with little kids, they're not fully understanding that, but I feel like if you are showing them and they can learn from that and keep moving forward, and they can keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately now that's why I push forward, is because I want my kids to see that. I want them to learn that. I want them to learn what it takes to be successful and win. And so that's my big thing now. That's, you know, like I said, that for me, winning as a father is showing my boys what it takes to be successful. So now I'm passing that on to them to teach them. And so they can learn, like, hey, hard work, hard work, hard work. We are going to outwork everybody. So,
dude, well, that's a great book. Yep. I'd recommend it to anybody looking to, you know, kind of just, well, it's great for a number of reasons. I think it's great because it's, you know, if you're a fan of, you know, basketball, and which I'm not really,
neither.
But but like I can always appreciate people that excel, you know, at the highest level. Yeah. And, you know, people that are absolutely obsessed with what they do. And clearly, you know, Tim Grover and all the people he trained, all the incredible athletes that he trained are obviously the pinnacle. And, right. And it's just so cool to hear a lot of those stories,
right.
Kind of from behind the scenes, and just it really does. I mean, it shows you what it takes to win. So,
well, here's an unpopular opinion. He doesn't coach LeBron.
Yeah.
He doesn't coach LeBron.
No, he doesn't.
Were we at dinner?
Yeah.
Having that conversation. LeBron might be the most skilled player out there, but I think mentally he doesn't have what those guys had when push come to shove. Like, I mean, I was telling these guys at the dinner, I was like, I would rather have Kobe, Michael Jordan, or Dwayne Wade on my team before I would take LeBron in a playoff game. You know, I've seen, you know, I'm not a big basketball scene game, but I've seen some playoff games where he's just walked off.
Mm-hmm. He just throws tantrums. And,
yeah, those guys would never fucking do that.
They'll do the soccer flop when he gets fouled and shit. And it's just like, fuck, dude.
Fuck. I mean, Kobe tore his Achilles and went to the free throw line.
And asked if he could, he's like, is there any way you could tape this up?
So I can get back in there.
Fuck yeah.
Right. You know, Dwayne Wade busting his ass to come back after knee surgery. Like, that's the thing is, I don't know. I think LeBron is a great basketball player. I think he's got unbelievable skills. But the thing that separates these guys that we've been talking about is that mental drive. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I think it sums it up. So get out, read Winning by Tim Grover. Have we decided what we're reading next yet?
Haven't. Not yet.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that and we'll figure it out. If you haven't subscribed yet, please hit that subscribe button for us. Hit that like button, comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.